Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Yud Ches. We begin the brand new parak, the second parak, Osin Pasin, and we begin towards the bottom of Yud Zayin Omud Beis. And the Mishnah begins, the new parak begins, Osin Pasin LeBiros. We discussed Pasin Biros, the first parak, a couple of times, and basically what we have here is a situation where Klai Yisrael going up Aliyas Regel, and they didn't always have easy, good water supplies, so there would be bores, which are basically pits in the ground that would collect rainwater, or you would have a be'er, which is a well, which is made usually from spring water. And these would be the watering stations for people, both for themselves and for their animals. Now, when they would be coming up Ola Regal, these would have the status of being Erishos HaYochid. The wells or the pits with water inside of them would have the status of being Erishos HaYochid. They were more than 10 Tvachim deep, and they were more than 4 by 4 Tvachim wide, and they were situated in public areas, so therefore they were in Erishos HaRabim. So the concern was, if you would drink from this well, you'd be drinking water, bringing it up from the well, and then taking it out into the surrounding Erishos HaRabim. So therefore, the rabbis instituted this idea known as Pasi Biros to allow you to create an enclosure around the well without having to actually wall off the full area around the well to make it into a bona fide, absolute, clear-cut Rishus HaYochid. And that's what we're going to learn about. So the Mishnah begins, Osin Pasin LeBiros. You're allowed to make these Pasin. Pas, we said, was like a lechi. It's a board. We'll see it has a minimal dimension of at least 6 Tvachim, 1 Amma. And they would put them at right angles in the four corners of the well. As you can see this in the diagrams, both in the Art Scroll, the Pirushai, and the Illustrated Gemara. So they would make these Pasin LeBiros. How are they made? Arba diyumdin nirin kishmona de Rav Yehuda. According to Rav Yehuda, we just put at right angles these boards at each of the four corners of the well. We see you can situate them as close or as far as you would like away from the well, depending on certain characteristics, the physical characteristics that we're talking about in terms of spaces in between them. So the simple way to do this is to station them, according to Rav Yehuda, in right angles at each corner. Each board will be, each pas will be at least 1 amma, 6 tvachim. They're situated right angles, and you enclosed the well in this halachically acceptable way with these 4 diyumdin. We'll see in the Gemara the word diyu comes from duo, two, and they would have these boards, 2 boards in each corner, so near in kishmona. So there would be a total of 8 boards. This is the opinion of Yehuda, and according to Yehuda, we'll see that they're allowed to be a maximal distance of 13 1/3 amma apart from each other. And even though there the space is way, way more than the boards, this was a special cooler in regards to water, which we found in many places. There are special coolers in regards to water that the rabbis instituted. That's the opinion of Yehuda. Rav Meir doesn't disagree fully. He disagrees partially. Rav Meir Omer, no, you can make over here these pasi biros, but it's shmona nirin kishnei masar. Each of the 4 in the corners he calls 1, which is really 2, so that's a total of 8, just like Rabbi Yehuda, but he requires you to also have another board in between these 2 diyumdin if the size in between them is more than 10 amma. He agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that if it's less than 10 amma, then you don't need to have an additional pas in between. But he says if it's more than 10 amma and yet you want to enclose it, so then you need to add another board in between each of the diyumdin, and that's another 4 boards, and therefore he has a total of 12 boards near, and it looks like it's a total of 12 kishneim osar. Arba diyumdin, 4 of the double boards, and the arba pshutin, and 4 of the single boards. So the double boards is 8, it's 4 that really is 8, and then you have the 4 pshutin, the 4 plain ones, in between each of the double boards that make it a total of 12. What are the dimensions for the pasim? So govon asor tvachim. With any mechitza, the minimal height has to be 10 tvachim. Now that can be actually 10 tvachim going up or 10 tvachim going down, but that is the minimal height, and that is what you require for any mechitza, including these diyumdin. And how wide do they have to be? The rochavon is shisha. They have to be 6 tvachim wide. Again, it's masculine. 6 here means tvachim, which is 1 amma. And how thick do they have to be? Ovion, that they don't have to be thick at all. They could be razor thin. So kol shu, any amount is considered an adequate depth or width to these boards. Ubeinehen, how much space do you have to have in between them? So that we already pointed out is a machlokes between Rav Meir and Yehuda. How much can you have in between them? Kimelo shnei revokos, according to the first opinion, which is Rav Meir, which is going to be 10 amma, you're allowed to have the space in between them being the amount that you could fit in shnei revokos, 2 teams of oxen, and each of the teams of oxen is three, shalosh bakar, diri Rav Meir. So there has to be two teams of oxen, and they're going through in opposite directions, as we'll see, and therefore each ox, we'll learn in the Gemara, is 1 2/3 amma. So you have, for three oxen, it's going to be 3 times 2/3, 3 and 3 times 2/3, which would be 6/3, which would be 2. So the total of one group of three oxen is going to be 5 amma. The other group is going to be 5 amma. So therefore, the space, according to Rav Meir, the maximum space that you can have between the diyumdin is going to be 10 amma. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda says you have more space. We had this in the first parak as well. If you don't mer shall arba, and the side it is, you should say arba again. So you have the team of oxen that's 4 oxen, not 3 oxen like Rav Meir, but he says it's 4 oxen in each team, and they have to be kshuros velo musoros. They have to be tied together and not loose. In other words, they have to be in a tighter fit than if they were just by themselves. The Gemara will explain this. And you have achas nichneses, v'achas yotzes, and you have one group of oxen going in and one group of oxen going out. So you have 4 oxen. Each of them is 1 2/3 amma. So it's going to be 4 times 1 is 4, and 4 times 2/3 is 8/3, which is going to be 2 2/3. So therefore, the entire team of one ox, 4 of the oxen, 1 of the oxen teams, is going to be 4 plus 2 2/3, which is 6 2/3. You're going to double that, so it's going to be 12 4/3, which is going to be 13 1/3, as I pointed out. That's where he gets this number. We'll go through this again in the Gemara if you didn't catch it now. So that's the machlokas between Rav Meir and Yehuda, how much space you can have between the diyumdin before you have to start putting in these pshutim. Mishnah continues and says, Mutu lahakriv be'er. If you want, you don't have to keep them this far apart. Those are the distances, according to Rav Meir, 10 amos, Rav Yehuda, 13 1/3 amos. That's only if you wish to keep it that far apart. If you want to, you can enclose the be'er more tightly. So, Mutu lahakriv be'er, if you want, you can bring these diyumdim closer to the well. However, you always have to make sure, Obavachite para rosha veruba bifnim vishosa, and it's able to drink within the enclosure. So you have to make sure that you don't bring it too close to the bear, otherwise you've defeated the whole purpose of having these pasibiros. So you have to have enough space in between the well and the surrounding area that a cow can fit in, most of the cow, the head of the cow, and most of the cow, and able to drink there without going beyond the diyumdim. So in this situation, it is permissible to do so. Then it says, mutu laharchik. Return to the Omer Aleph. If you wish, you can spread them out further apart, even more than the 10 and the 13 1/3 amos, respectively, of Rav Meir and Yehuda. However, if you want to, you can make it further. Mutal hachir kol shu. If you want, you can make it any amount that you want. Buvad shiyar bebepasim. In that situation, you have to create the additional pshut and the additional boards in between, enough that there is always less than 10 or 13 1/3 amos between them. Yehuda comes along to give one more qualification. Review domer ad beis sasayim. Yeah, you can make it much larger, but you can't make it more than a base of Siam. Again, we learned previously a base of Siam is twice a 50 by 50 area. So it's 50 by 100, which is a 5,000 square amma area. So more than that you can't enclose with Pasi Biro. So you have to make a more significant machitza. That's what Rehuda says. On below, so the Chacham says Rehuda, no. The base of Siam, which is a famous shear we talked about already in the first parak, lo amr base of Siam el lagina or le karpaf. That's if you want to enclose your garden, or if you want to enclose a karpaf. We mentioned many times a karpaf is an area. Rashi tells us here again as well. Hekev gadol chutz leir lahachnisham etzim leotzer. This was some sort of a large area that was outside of the city, and they would use it as a storehouse. So these types of areas, if you wish to enclose them, they were limited by being up to 2 saw, a base saw, 5,000 square amos. You couldn't enclose something more than that, but that's only talking about a gina, a garden, or this karpaf. However, abol imhu hayadir o soar o muktzo o chotzer, but if it was any type of an area, such as a deer was, Rashi explains, some sort of an area for your animals, shel behemos, sheosim besados, hayom kan b'hayom kan. You would enclose a certain area for your animals to pasture, and they would defecate there, and they would fertilize that area. You'd keep them penned in that area. Then you'd move the pen to another area, and they would go and fertilize that area. Then you'd move the pen to another area. So this is called a deer. The sohar, Rashi tells us, is also for the animals. It's some sort of a pen or a corral for the animals, but this was in the city as opposed to out in the field. That's the difference between a deer and a sohar. So these were corrals for the animals. Omuktza is basically a storage area that you would have in your backyard. Rashi says, Rochva Shachori Habatim, this was an area behind the houses where you would store stuff. Or a Chatzer, this was the area in front of the houses. We call the Muktzah also a Rochava. In any event, these types of areas, the Deir, Soar, Muktzah, and Chatzer, don't have a limit of Beis Sosayim. And if you want to, you can enclose them, Afilu Beis Chameshes Kurin. They could even be an area that could hold 30 saw times 5, so 150 saw, or afilu base asara kurin, even 10 times 30 saw, or 300 saw area, mutter. You're allowed to go and enclose such a large area, and we'll see, because these were purposes of dira, of living in using them, as opposed to the karpaf, or the gina, which wasn't for living purposes. Finally, the Mishnah concludes, umutter l'harche koshu, again, the Mishnah states again that if you wish to, you can make it wide apart as long as you insert these pasim in between, and the Gemara will discuss why this is repeated. Now let's start analyzing this in the Gemara. The Gemara starts off and says, Lema mas nisin delo ki Chananya. Our Mishnah doesn't seem to be in accord with the opinion of Chananya. What's the opinion of Chananya? So the Gemara says, Detanya, osin pasin lebor. This Brisa says you're allowed to make these pasin, these boards, these right-angled, one-armor board attached to a one-armor board in a right angle for a bar. Now, again, I pointed at the beginning of the year, I mentioned it again, that a bar was just a collection pit of water. It didn't have natural water inside of it. Now, the difference between a bar and a be'er is that a be'er has spring water, it doesn't usually run dry. A bar could possibly run dry when the water that was collected and is used up, it's not refilled unless it rains or unless you add water to it. So that's one of the major differences between a bar and a be'er. So this Brisa says that you're allowed to use this heter of pasei biros also for a bor, not only for a be'er. So osin pasin lebor, you can use this for a bor. But if you want to go and enclose an area for your caravan, you can't use this diumdin, you can't use this heter. That's a heter that they only would make by for water, as we mentioned. But chavolin l'shayara. The Tanakhama here says that if you want to use ropes, just using the horizontal mechitza, that is good for a shayara, but you can't use pasin for a shayara. That's the opinion of Tanakhama. And along comes Chananya. This is the Chananya who was saying that our Mishnah is not like this opinion of Chananya. The Chananya Omer, Chavolin Lebor. No, even for a bar, you need to use Chavolin. Avolo Pasin. Chananya doesn't allow to use Pasin for a bar. He only allows Pasin for a Be'er. So, Gemara wants to say, let us say our Mishnah is not like the opinion of Chananya. Our Mishnah didn't seem to necessarily indicate that there's any difference between a Be'er and a bar. So Gemara says, yes, it does. Afilu tema Chananya. You could say that our Mishnah goes like the opinion of Chananya. Our Mishnah is also only talking about a bear. Bor luchud, uber luchud. In fact, our Mishnah is consistent with Chananya. Our Mishnah doesn't say anything about a bor. Our Mishnah specifically said, pasi biros. It's only for a bear and not for a bor. So therefore, our Mishnah could be consistent with Chananya. That's version number one. Ika de Amre, a second version of what Chananya's statement is Midelo Kitani, since we didn't say in this Brisa, Chananya Omer, Osin Chavolim Lebor Upasin Lebe'er. That wasn't the language of the Brisa. The Brisa just said, the Chananya Omer, Chavolim Lebor, Avolo Pasin. He just said that you can't use Pasin for a bar. He didn't say anything about a bear. From the fact that Chananya didn't say that, it said in the Brisa, as I just told you, Chavolim lebor, but not pasin. But it didn't say Chananya Omer osim chavolim lebor upasin lebear. It didn't mention anything about a be'er. Miklal de lechananya lo shna bor velo shna bear. From the fact that Chananya didn't make a distinction in the Brisa, it implies that there is no such distinction between a bor and a bear. And for both of them, it implies chavolin in. Yes, you can make a mechitza with just a horizontal mechitza, but the pasin that isn't good enough even for a bear. Pasin lo. So therefore, now we rephrase the question this way. Lema masnisa delo ki Chananya, our Mishnah clearly states that pasin are good for be'er, and from the Brisa we can imply that Chananya would hold that pasin aren't good even for a be'er. So therefore, Chananya can't be the author of our Mishnah, according to the second version. So Gemara says, no, afilu tema Chananya. No, we could reconcile our Mishnah even with the opinion of Chananya. Why is that? Because lamai dekama tanakama, because Chananya was responding to the Tanakhama, the Brisa, but he wasn't talking about Be'er because the Tanakhama was only talking about a bar. Because what did the Tanakhama say? The Tanakhama said, Osin Pasin Lebar. Tanakhama said, you can use a pas for a bar. So Chananya responded to what the Tanakhama was talking about. You're saying, you can use a pas for a bar? I say, you can use a pas for a bar. But he had no comment on a Be'er. Therefore, there is no raya that Hananya couldn't be the author of our Mishnah. So we leave it with both versions. That Hananya certainly could still say that the Pasei Be'eros are allowed to be good, that you can go and be Matir, a Be'er, with Pasen, even according to Hananya, even though he made a specific comment in regards to a bar, it didn't necessarily translate to any comment in regards to Be'er. Mark says, another Tana can't be the author of our Mishnah. Lame must decent look at Rabbi Kiva. Let us say that Rabbi Kiva is not the author of our Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva is even more Mako than the author of our Mishnah, as we'll see that not. Because we'll have a Mishnah in a couple of days, on Davchav days, where it says, Echod be'er harabim, ubor harabim, ube'er ha'yochid, osalem pasin. And there we'll introduce a new idea, a publicly owned well versus a privately owned well, a publicly owned pit with water inside of it versus a privately owned pit with water inside of it. So there, Rabbi Akiva will teach us in the Mishnah the following. If you have a be'er, it doesn't make a difference whether it's publicly owned or privately owned. As the Mishnah says, Echad be'er harabim, or it says, ube'er hayachid. But then it qualifies and says, only, however, ubar harabim, only a bar harabim, all of these, osalem pasin. So for these three of the four, you can make pasin for any type of a be'er and for a publicly owned bar. However, Avobor Hayochid, a privately owned pit that just has water inside of it. Rabbi Akiva doesn't allow Pasi Bioros for that. Osalo Mechitza Gavo Asor Tvachim. You have to make a real Mechitza that is 10 Tvachim around the entire area, and you can't get away with the Yumdin, Divi Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva seems to be saying a more lenient opinion than our Mishnah. Vilu Hacha, in our Mishnah, Tani Libiros, it implied that only a Pasim are good for Biros, bear, but not for a bar, even a bar of a rabbim. Libiros in, libiros lo. So therefore, our Mishnah seems to contradict Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva allows the pasi biros for a bear. Our Mishnah says the same thing, but Rabbi Akiva also allows a pasi biros to be used for a bar. And our Mishnah seems to say only for a bear. So he says, no, lav dafka, have you looked at Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva could still be consistent with the author of our Mishnah. Why? Because be'er, mayim chayim dipsikole, a be'er has one rule across the board, whether it's a rabim or whether it's a yochid, and it doesn't ever run out. The springs don't run out. Therefore, lo shno de rabim, lo shno de yochid. We don't have to make any distinction between a publicly owned bear or a privately owned bear. As Rashi says, they're not going to run out. So they're continuously having water inside them. We don't have to make a gzera. Oh, if they run out, people may still use them to carry within them, and you're only allowed to use it for water. It's a heter, the hikilu b'chacham, in regards to mayim, but not for any other usage. So with the wells, the be'er, we're not concerned that they're going to run out. Therefore, there's one halach across the board for a public or a private one. We're not concerned that a private person will not have the public reminding him because he's the only one using it. So lo shno d'rabim, lo shno d'yachin. Therefore, the Mishnah says, k'tani, you're allowed to go and use Pasi Biros for both of them. However, bar michunasin de lo psikale, but a bar which just collects water in it. It doesn't have its own internal spring supplying it with water. So if it rains a lot, so it's going to be filled with water. But if it doesn't rain, so the water's going to get used up, and then there'll be suddenly no water. So therefore, lo ketani, the Mishnah, didn't want to discuss that, because there, in our Mishnah, it only wanted to talk about clear-cut, no difference between a public or a private. Whereas the Mishnah on Chaf Beis, with Rabbi Akiva, there he starts making distinctions between a public and a private. So our Mishnah wasn't talking about a bar. Our Mishnah is only talking about a bear. And Rabbi Akiva agrees with our Mishnah in regards to bear, that a public or a private bear is good. So Rabbi Akiva is not arguing with our Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva is expanding upon our Mishnah on Daf Chaf Beis, and our Mishnah here wouldn't necessarily disagree with that expansion, because our Mishnah also would agree that a private bar, where you're concerned, as Rashi says, that the water is going to run out, and in a public bar, people remind you, hey, don't carry anymore, there's no water. But in a private bar, there's nobody to remind you, and you may end up carrying there. And therefore, our Mishnah chose not to talk about a machlokis type of situation, and only on Daf Chaf Beis do we begin to discuss the machlokis type of a situation, the difference between a public and private entity. So therefore, our Mishnah could be in accord with Rabbi Akiva. Try one more time to say another Tana is not the author of our Mishnah. The Gemara continues, says, Lema Mazdis, let's say our Mishnah is the look of Yehudim Baba. It's not like the opinion of Yehudim Baba. What's Yehudim Baba's opinion? It's not. Because here, we're going to have a Mishnah also on Daf Chav Beis, where Yehudim Baba's opinion is going to be as follows. Yehudim Baba Omer, Enos Impasin Ela Leder Harabim Bovat. There's a more Machmer opinion. He argues with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said that three of the four scenarios, the Pasim are good. The only one that's not good is the private bar, and here you have the opposite. Yehudim Bava says the three of the four are not good. The only one that's good is the public be'er. Einos impasim elo be'er harabim bilvad. Now, here in our Mishnah, we seem to make no distinction between a public or private be'er. So here, Yehudim Bava does make a distinction between public and private be'er. It implies lo shno derav, lo shno deyachid. So our Mishnah seems to say even for a private be'er it's good, and Yehudim Bava clearly says on Daf Chav Beis in the Mishnah there that a private be'er is no good with pasim. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Mebava is not the author of our Mishnah, but the Gemara says again, hear it as well, like with the other two. No, it could be. Afilu Tamer Yehuda Mebava. You could argue that our Mishnah is in accord with Yehuda Mebava. Aye, it says biros, that implies public and private bear are good. No. What does it mean, biros? My biros. You know what it means when it's using the term biros? It means biros the Alma. It's using the plural term over here for wells of the public domain in general. So not all public wells. But it doesn't say anything about private wells. And therefore, our Mishnah could be understood to be talking like Rav Yehuda and Bava, that only public wells, that's why it says wells in plural, because it's about all the different public wells, but it doesn't mean private and public wells like we originally understood. So, again, all of these opinions, Chananya, Rabbi Akiva, and Rav Yehuda and Bava, we wanted to suggest couldn't be the authors of our Mishnah, but no, each of them could be reconciled and be the author of our Mishnah as well. Now the Gemara goes into the derivation of the word diyumdin. I mentioned this earlier. My diyumdin. What does it mean when you have these right angle panels? Why are they called diyumdin? So where does that root of that word come from? So I'm Rav Yiri ben Elazar. Now this is going to be the first of many statements of Rav Yiri ben Elazar, and therefore that's why we're going to have a simon over here. Rav Yiri ben Elazar is not the most frequently mentioned Amora that we have in Gemara, and they would often list all of their statements of an unusual or a rare Amora together to make it easier to remember all of that person's statements. So I'm Rav Yiri ben Elazar. Yirmiya ben Elazar tells us that the root of the word diyumdim is made up of two words, dio, which means duo, two, and amudin, two panels. So therefore, diyumdin is two panels. Now we have this mnemonic. The Gro has a slightly different version of the mnemonic. We'll read it first in our version, dio, lemenuda, shevach, zonis, niskalkel, bemida, shlosha, simin. So a big school I mentioned many times to read the simonim, and the Gro just has a slightly different gears over here. He has the dio, menuda, shevach, yona, bayis, shtei, niskalkel, bemida, shlosha. Okay. Whatever the mnemonic is, we're now going to see its different statements that Rav Yirmiya ben Elazar made. Each of them is a Rashi Tevos, or a reminder of the statement. Now, we start off the Gemara. Tanan Hasim, we learned in the Mishnayis in Dumai. So it tells us there, we discussed yesterday what Dumai is. Dumai, the Amaratzim didn't always take off. Most of them did, but some of them didn't. And therefore, the rabbis put a knas on the Amaratzim that whenever you purchase something from them, you have to retake Trumos and Maisers. So Yud Omer, call Hashisin Peturin. You don't have to take Dumai from this type of produce known as Shisin. Rashi says these are Minei Te'enim. These are types of figs that are rows, that are very poor and low quality. And the reason why we don't have to retake Dumai, we don't have to take off another maestros from these, is because the kivan de rose, Rashi says, they're so inferior, they're so poor. Lo chas alayu am oritz the isran. The whole reason why we make you retake Dumai, you take another maestros from Ama Oritz's produce, because they say, well, 10%, that's a lot of stuff. This is $1,000 I have to take off. So therefore, we're concerned that some of them didn't do it. However, if the thing is worth $5, so it's not a big deal to take off 50 cents. So therefore, for an inferior product like this, where it's such a small amount of money that you're losing by taking it off, so even the Amaratzim would take it off. So therefore, Yehuda tells us that these very inferior figs, known as Shisin, they don't have a chiyuv if the Amaretz sells them to you, that you have to go and take Maestros again from them. Except for one type of these figs, known as the Diufra. Chutz min ha-Diufra. And notice it has the word dio in it. So we'll see in a moment, that's why this is being brought in over here. Except for this type of fig called the diufra. Why is that? My diufra. What are these diufra? Amaula ilan ose dio peres bashana. This is a type of fruit tree, a fig tree, that makes two crops of figs in each year. And that's why it's called dio pera. That's where the word comes from. Diufra, dio pera. Rashi adds that this diufra, this dio pera, shuchashiv, these were very, very expensive. These were much better figs, and therefore there was a chashash that some of the Amaratzim wouldn't take off the trumas and maestros. Gemara continues and says, Amar Yirmi ben Elazar, Yirmi ben Elazar says, by Adam Rishon, we will see Psukim, that it refers to Adam Rishon as Dio parts of Panim, Hayaloli Adam Rishon. That Adam Rishon is described as having two faces. What does that mean? Shenemar Ochor Vokedem Tsartani. The Pasuk tells, in Tehillim, it says, Ochor Vokedem Tsartani. Adam Rishon was the author of some of the Tehillim, and he authored this Tehillim, where it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me from both the back, Ochar Vokedem, and the front. So we learn now from here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, we'll see the Machlokes, that he made Adam Arishon originally as Adam and Chava. They were both part of the same body, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated them. So we have the word Dio over here, Dio parts of two faces, and that's why this is brought in over here. It's another statement of Yirmi ben Elazar. Now, where do we see this? Ksiv, Vayivan Hashem Elokim es HaTzela v'gomer. It says in Bereishis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Chava from the Tzela, right? This is classically translated as a rib, but we'll see that nobody really translated it as a rib. So Rav Shmuel, there's a machlokas what this means. Chad Amar Partzuf. One opinion is this opinion that we just said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated Adam from Chava. They were really one entity. And the other one says, no, he created Chava v'chad amar Zorav. He created Chava from some sort of an appendage. Zorav is often translated as a tail, but it doesn't necessarily mean a tail. It means some sort of an additional appendage. Rashi explains, Hoyololi Adam Arishon, v'not l'mimenu u'boris Chava. He had this tail, we'll call it a tail, but it really means an appendage of some sort, an extra appendage, and that was how he created Chava. Not that they were created as a single entity and then separated. Gemara says, Bishlam, the Man D'Yomar, parts of, according to the Man D'Yomar, the first opinion, whether it's Rav or Shmuel, we don't know. The first opinion that says that Adam and Rishon was really originally Adam and Chava together, and Hashem separated them, so we understand. Hainu D'Siv, the Pasuk in Tehillim, Ocher V'Kedem Sartani, that you made me have a face one way and a face the other way, and then you separated me. Elo, the Man D'Yomar is Adam, according to the opinion, whether it's Rav or Shmuel, that says that Chav was created from some extra appendage, this Tzela, this Zonov of Adam. So then, what does it mean in the Tehillim? My Ocho v'Kedem Sartani. So Gemara says, so this opinion would be like Kidder of Ami. You'd have to explain it like Rav Ami. What is that? The Amar of Ami. Ocho l'maisa b'reishis v'Kedem l'peronus. That man was created last in regards to maisa b'reishis. As Rashi points out, we were created on Erev Shabbos, and all the other creatures of the world were created first, but we were the first ones to be punished. V'Kedem l'peronus. What does that mean? So Bishlam Ochel Maisa Bereishis is very easy to understand that we were created last in regards to the process of Maisa Bereishis to Lo Ivrei Ad Mali Shabbat, because we weren't created until Erev Shabbos. We were the last creation of the world. Ella, V'kedem l'paranus, Mayhi, what does it mean that we were the first ones to be punished? If you're going to tell me it's from the Chait of Edi, from the Eitz Hadas, Ilema Mishum Klolo, if you're telling me it's because we ate from the Eitz Hadas and therefore we were punished, so man was punished first? No, man was punished last. First, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished the Nachash. And only afterwards, L'Besov Niskalu L'Chava. Then he punished Chava. The Etzev told the Banim, you're going to have a painful childbirth. And only subsequently, L'Besov Niskalu L'Odom. So man was cursed that you have to go, you have to go work for a living, as opposed to just taking the food right off the trees. Everything was fully grown. So therefore, how can you tell me that man was cursed first? He was made last and cursed first. Here you see that he was made last and cursed last. So therefore, this is a reference actually to the Mabul, Elulah Mabul, that man was cursed first in the Mabul. The Pasuk says, V'yimachas kol ha'yakum, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wiped out everything. Asher al pnei ha'adamah, may Adam ad behemah v'gomer. It starts off with man cursing them ad behemah. Now this is specifically stated over here because otherwise it would have just said v'yamachas kol ha'yakum. So it's coming to darshan to us over here. May Adam behemah, that man was punished first. So that's the idea. The Ocher v'kedem Sartani, according to the opinion, that Chava was created from this Zonov. So this is a reference to a man was created last, but he was punished first. Gemara says, Bishlam l'man d'yom parts of, according to the opinion of either Rav or Shmuel that said that Adam and Chava were created as one and then separated. Ah, we understand. Vayitzer terrain yudin. The word vayitzer has two yudin, implying over here that there was man and woman created. But Elaman the Omar Zonov, according to the opinion that says that Chava was created from a Zonov, why the double yud? My Vayitzer. Why do you need two yuds in the word Vayitzer? What does it signify? So this, the Gemara answers, is Shimon Pazi. This is like in accord with the opinion of Shimon Pazi. What did he say to Amar Shimon Pazi? Oy li mi Yitzri, woe is to me from one yud, my Yitzer Hara, and if I follow my Yetzirah, then Oili Miyotzri, then I have to worry about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the two Yudin over here represent your Yetzirah that's going to lead you to worry about your Yotzer, your Creator. That's why it uses this double lotion of Vayitzer with two Yuds. Where it says again, so according to the opinion Rabbi Shmuel that said that Adam and Chava created together as a single entity with face this way and face that way. We understand why it says Zohar or Nekeva Barah. In Bereishis it says exactly this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man and woman and implying together. So we understand they were created together and Hashem separated them. Elamandi Yom HaZonav, according to the opinion that says the Chava was created from the Zonav. So what does it mean? My Zohar or Nekeva Barah. What does it mean that Hashem created them together? So this would be an answer to Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo gave an answer to this. The Rabbi Avo Rami was concerned. He had a question. It says in one pasuk, Siv Zohar Nekev Barom. We have this pasuk that men and women are created together. But then it says, Uksiv. Now the word ki isn't found in the pasuk. It's in our Gemara, so it's in parentheses. It says, Bitzelim Elokim Baroso, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam, not Adam and Chava. So you have a steer here. One place it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam and Chava together, and one place it seems to say that he created Adam by himself, and only afterwards he created Chava from the Tzela. So Gemara says, how did Rabbi Avo reconcile these psukim? So he said, B'tchila also b'machshava livro shnayim, Hashem's Chava mina, so to say, was that he would create both Adam and Chava together, but then, l'besov, he said, no, lo, nivro, elo, echod. It would be better that they would be separate. And he created Adam separately, and then he created Chava. Now, this is always something that is very difficult to understand. What does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a Chava mean, and then he changed his mind. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a mind to change. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have the flaws or the faults of a man that he could have second doubts and change his opinion. But this is an anthropomorphism for us to understand the way that the world works. That the Bria couldn't exist in a certain way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is the ideal way I wanted the Bria to work, but because of man's faults and man's inadequacies, I have to create the world in this way. But he's teaching us what is the ideal and what is the reality. Again, Bishlom L'mandi Yom HaParetzov, we have no problem, according to the opinion, whether it's Rav or Shmuel again, that said that Adam and Chava created together. We understand why it says in the Pasuk in Bereishis, after Chava was separated from man, we understand why it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put back, so to say, he sewed up the end of the operation. So v'yiskor basar tachtena, he filled in the flesh afterwards. He just removed flesh, so he had to go and sew up Adam. So we understand that lashon. Elamandi Yom HaZonav, according to the Mandioma, that Chava was created from this Zonov, so why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to do this major operation? My Vayiskor Bosa Tachtena, what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put back, so to say, all the flesh? He didn't really take out a lot. Gemara says, no, he did. Amar Rav Zid, others say it was Vitema Rav Yiriya, others say Vitema Rav Nachman Yitzchok, whoever it was, which of these Amorim said this answer? Lo Nitzucha Ela Lemakom Chatach. No, whatever this Tzela was, whatever the Zonov was, so there was a procedure there. So it wasn't as extensive, maybe, as separating the entire front from the back. So it was a smaller operation. But nevertheless, when you score Boso Tachtan, it had to be sewed up afterwards. It had to be filled in afterwards. Now the Gemara says, Mishlam Adaman Diyom Zonov. Now we go the other way. Everything works out well according to the opinion that says Chava was created from the Zonov. We understand. We understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, creator from scratch. Elo, Aman Diyom HaParetzov, according to the opinion, it says that Adam and Chava were created together, so they were already created. My Vayiven, why does it have to use this terminology of HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them? So that we need the Rishim of Manasseh. That's needed according to the opinion of Rishim of Manasseh. What did he say? The Dorish Rishim of Manasseh. Rishim of Manasseh said, Vayiven Hashem Elokim Esat Tzela, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Chava from this Tzela, Melame. It's not that he created her from scratch. No, she was already there, and he just separated them. But this Lashon of Vayiven is Melame, Shekilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chava. HaKadosh Baruch Hu braided Chava's hair. He made Klios. Rashi says the Klia is Kliaseya. He braided her hair. The Vial of the Marishon, then he brought it to Adam Marishon. He took it to the beauty parlor, and then he gave it to Adam Marishon. She came to Krachayam. In the coastal cities, it's called this term of binyan, korin lekliyasa binyasa, that this idea of braiding is referred to as binyasa. So the word vayiven is showing us how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make Chava pleasing to Adam, so he did her hair. He made her pleasing to Adam. Alternatively, Dover Acher, by even Hashem Elokim, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, Amr Chisto, V'yam Elov Mimas Nisatana. It was either Rav Chisto, or it was actually in a Braisa, Malamit Shebino HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chava Kebinyan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Chava's body, a woman's body, the same way a person would create a storehouse, a binyan. We turn to the Amud Beis. What does it mean by that? Kebinyan Otsar, like the binyan of an Otsar. What does it mean? Ma otzar, just like when you build a warehouse, a storehouse, ze rochav milamata, the kotz milamala, you put it wider at the bottom and thinner towards the top. So this way, it won't have such pressure on the walls, Rashi says. So too. And that's so kedei lekabel separus, so the peros won't destroy each other. If you had all the peros on the very top of a thin bottom, so then they would crush the ones on the bottom. So this is much better to keep the fruit stored well when you have a wider bottom and a narrower top. Kedil Kabbalah Saperos. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Chava for the same reason, same way. Af Isha, Roch B'Lamata, which is wider at the bottom, Uktsar L'Mala, and narrow at the top. So when the baby is inside, Kedil Kabbalah Savlod, the baby will be better stationed and not crushing himself. Then the pasuk continues, says, Vayivyel Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Chava to Adam. So Melamed, we learn here a very important idea. Sha'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shushbinus Liadam HaRishon. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the, what we call the Unterfahrer. He was the one who was helping to be the groom's side and the bride's side. They have the Shushbinos, the friends who, in those days, they had actual responsibilities. They paid for the wedding. They did certain things for the wedding. So these were official positions that were responsibilities. They involved certain financial obligations, giving certain presents. This is called shushbinus. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't too proud, Kaviyochel, to be the shushbin for Adam HaRishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so much fantastically greater than any creature. We can't even imagine. Yet, it wasn't below HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dignity to go and be the Shushbin for Adam HaRishon, to teach us, Mikan, Legodlo, Shiasi Shushbinus, Lekotan, Vayerlo, that a very important person shouldn't be embarrassed to go do Shushbinus for somebody less important than him, Ayerlo. Don't think that it's below your dignity to do that. No, it's perfectly fine. We see this from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see the same idea by Bikur Cholim, for example. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I go and visit Avram Avinu after the Bris Milah, so we learn that from there also. A person shouldn't say, oh, I'm so much greater than this person. It's pasnish for me to go and do Bikur Cholim on him. So no, the idea is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us the way that a person should conduct himself. Now the Gemara says, L'man de'om ha'paratzuv, according to the opinion, says that Adam and Chava were created together with one paratzuv, how did they walk? Who was in the front? Which way did they walk? Did they walk with Adam HaRishon leading, or did they walk with Chava leading? So Gemara says, "Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, it makes sense to say Mistabra de Zohar Sagi Bereisha. It makes sense to say that Adam HaRishon was the direction that they walked. The way his face was facing, that's how they would walk, and Chava would be in the area behind the Tanya, because it says in the Braisa, Lo Yahalich Adam Achari Isha Baderach, because a man is not allowed to walk behind a woman. A woman's form is very pleasing for a man to look at, and if he walks behind a woman, he's going to see her swaying, he's going to see her body, and it's going to lead to terrible thoughts. And this is true, says Afilu Yishto, even your own wife, you shouldn't do this, because it's going to lead you to improper thoughts. Now, what happens if you're walking on the road and there's a woman in front of you and you're about to pass over a bridge and you can't pass her? This Damna Alagesha, if you see the woman on the bridge in front of you, so you Salkeno Litzdodim, try to go and pass her on the side so you can walk in front and not walk behind her. That's true with somebody else's wife. Here, you don't have to do this for your own wife, because this is really difficult to do, so you only have to do this for somebody else's wife. Finally, V'chol over Achor Yisha Benar, and when you're going and walking, and you see a woman in the river. Now, when the woman's in the river, she's going to lift up her dress so her dress doesn't get wet. So that is a terrible thing to do. That's a terrible lack of tznius. Ein lo chelik l'olam haba. Rachmona litzlan, a person could lose his chelik in olam haba if he does this on a regular basis. Tana Rabbanon, hamiratze mos liisha miyado liyado. If you hand money to a woman from your hand to her hand, oh miyado liyado, you take back money from her hand to your hand, and you're doing this for prurient purposes, bishul shi stockable, because you want to look at her hand. You had the exact change, and you wanted her to give change to you. You had a credit card, and you could have put it in the machine, but instead you gave her cash because you wanted to look at her hands. So afilu domo la Moshe Rabbeinu, even if you're as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, shekibul tar mi har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu, if you're as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, and yet you do this, you're going to have to pay the price. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to let you get away without going to Gehenna, Rachmona Litzlan. But all of HaKadosh of Omer, and where do we see this from? Because it says, Yod liyod lo yinoke ra, from the hand to hand, implying that if you're looking at this woman's hand, you're going to be punished. And this is the same lashon that's used by Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. So therefore, we play on this word over here, yod liyod, lo yinokem, medina shogetim. Even if you're as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to have to pay the piper. It's going to be a problem. Rashi points out, because Moshe kibel Torah miyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu yado, so that's why it uses this yad liyad analogy to say, even if you're as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, who got the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yad liyad, if you do this inappropriate behavior with a woman, so then you're going to have to pay the piper. Rav Nachman says, Manoach am Oretz Huyah. Rav Nachman says about Manoach. Manoach was the husband of Hatzlal Puni, who was, they were the parents of Shimshon, the great Shimshon. So Manoach, Rav Nachman says, was an Am HaOretz. Where do we see this? He says, Shenemar Vayokom, after the Malach came to Hatzlal Puni to tell him that she's going to have a child who's going to be Shimshon. So Manoach wanted to go see this Malach. So it says, Vayokom Vayelech Manoach Acharei Ishto. He followed after his wife. So he didn't know this din, that you're not allowed to walk behind your wife. That's what Rav Nachman says. He must have been an Am HaOretz. Where it says, Maskel Rav Nachman Yitzel, whoa, you have to call him Manoach an Am HaOretz? So then you have to call anybody where it says in Tanakh, someplace that they followed their wife or followed a woman, they're all Amaratzim. El Miyata, if what you're saying is right, Rav Nachman, that because it says, Vayokam Ayelech Manoach Achri Yishto, he's an Am HaOretz, so then you have to say the same thing about Elkanah. Gabi Elkanah. Elkanah, of course, is the husband of Chana, the mother of Shmuel. So Gabi Elkanah, Dirsiv, Vayelech Elkanah Achri Yishto, that Elkanah followed his wife. Hochanami, you're going to tell me that Elkanah, who was the god of Lador, was he an Am HaOretz as well? Now, Tosus points out there's a little bit of a problem over here. There is no such pasuk. There is no pasuk at all that says that Vayelech Elkanah Achri Yishto. And you can see this on the side in the Masoros HaShas, where it tells us the Tosos in Brachu says this and says that this is a mistake. This pasuk doesn't belong here because there is no such pasuk. And this paragraph over here, Vayelech Elkanah Achri Yishto, should be deleted. In any event, by Elisha, we do have such a finding. But Gabi Elisha, he's following the Isha Shunamis. When Nebuch, her son, died, and Gehazi couldn't resuscitate him, so Elisha had to go and resuscitate him. So it says there, he went after the Isha Shunamis. So you call me Elisha, the God of Ador, the prophet who was an unbelievable God of Yisrael. You're saying because he followed after the woman that he was an Am HaOretz? So it doesn't mean that, obviously. Ela achrei devareha v'atzasah. He followed after her thoughts, after her words. So therefore, by Manoach as well, hochanami achrei devareha v'atzasah. He didn't follow literally afterwards. So Rav Nachman, you're wrong. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says that Manoach is an Am HaOretz. Amar Rav Ashi says, but according to Rav Nachman, who called Manoach an Am HaOretz, not only did he not know this din, but my Amar Rav Nachman, Manoach Am HaOretz, he says, afilu de rabbit. Rav Nami Lo Kori. He wasn't even in a base medrash. He wasn't even in the school. He didn't even learn psukim in chumash that are normally you learn in first grade. He didn't even know that. Tichsev. But talking Rivka v'narosela. But tirkavna legmalim. But teilachna achrei yish. It says by Rivka when she went with Eliezer that she followed after Eliezer. Now, it didn't have to tell us that, but the fact that it tells us, it could have just said, she went. So it says, Achri Ish, to tell us, Achri Ish, below Lifnei Ish. It comes to tell us this important diuk. And therefore, we learned this early in Chumash, and Manoach didn't even know this from a pasuk in Chumash, never mind that he didn't know this din, which is it has to be darshan, that a person shouldn't go and walk after a woman. Now, once we talk about this, so we add on a couple of other things. Rabbi Yochanan, Achri Ari, it's better to walk after a lion, lo Achri Isha, because of the prurient thoughts that come to you. It's actually safer to walk after a lion, which is quite dangerous, than to walk behind a woman where you could have terrible thoughts, and that's worse. Likewise, if you have the choice to walk after a woman or after Avodah Zarah, Achri Isha, it's better to walk after the woman, lo Achri Avodah Kacham. As bad as it is to walk after a woman, it's even worse to walk after Avodah Kacham, to Rahman al-Islam, go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And finally, even Achori Avodas Kochavim, it's better to walk after Avodas Kochavim, below Achori Beis HaKnesses, Bishor Shatzibur Mispalim. The Bach adds the word Shatzibur Mispalim. So when the shul is davening and you don't walk into the shul to daven, so then you're basically saying, I don't believe in this. And that's a terrible mistake. That's even worse than Avodah Zarah, because you're basically outright stating, I don't want to daven in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shul. As opposed to, if you go to Avodah Zarah, you say, well, you know, I believe in the Avodah Zarah a little bit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu a little bit. So it's terrible it is to walk after Avodah Zarah. It's not as bad as not davening in a shul. Now, the Gemara in Brachos tells us that there are plenty of people that walk by shuls and don't go into daven. So the Gemara in Brachos gives us many, many explanations why that's not true. So if there's another minion that you're going to, there's another shul in town, you don't have to worry about it. If you're carrying a package, so obviously you're not not going into the shul because you don't want to daven. You're not going to shul because you're carrying a package. You have an animal with you, etc. So as long as there's a clear-cut explanation as to why you're not going in the shul, it's not a problem. Also, the Mefarshim explained that when you're not going into the shul, so it means you're turning away in the other direction. So it means you're poretz min hatzibur. The whole tzibur is facing that way and davening to Hashem, and you're basically turning away. That again symbolizes why it's so bad not to go into a shul when the tzibur is davening there. Gemara continues and says another statement from Yirmi ben Elazar. Amari Yirmi ben Elazar, kol osan hasharim shayu adam rishon benidoy. All those years that Adam Rishon was in Cherim, he was in Nidoy after the sin of eating from the Eitz Hadas for 130 years. He was in some sort of a Nidoy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what happened during this period of time? Holid Ruchin Vishadin Velilin. He somehow was giving birth to, he was the father of these Ruchin, Shadin, and Lilin, all sorts of these creatures that we don't fully understand, these various types of Shadim, demons, and Lilis is the name of a certain, name specifically of a certain type of a demon, and also a general class of demons. So we don't understand exactly what this is. How do we know this? Shenema, Vayichi Adam Shloshim Ashana. Adam lived to be 130 years old when he gave birth. At that point in time, he burst a sheis. So then he had a child that was like him. Until then, until that point in time, he didn't give birth to children like himself. In other words, he gave birth to all of these shadim, all these other creatures. More questions this Meisle, the Gemara says, really? Rameh is telling us, we shouldn't for a second think, because Adam Rishon sinned, that he wasn't an unbelievably great person. He was a tremendous chosid gadol. And therefore, kivan shirah she niknesa misayo. Though since he saw Nebuch, that he caused death to come to the world for me from the Eitz Hadas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "I'm going to put death into the world," and therefore Adam felt responsible. So he did tshuva. So yosha b'taynis meyo shlosh v'shana. So appropriate for Chodesh Elul. He did tshuva for 130 years. He fasted, like we have Yom Kippur. So he fasted for 130 years. I don't know exactly what this means. He fasted during the daytime, mistoma, ate at night. Yosha b'tainis meyo shlosh v'shana. For 130 years he fasted. Upiresh min ha'isha meyo shlosh v'shana. Just like we have on Yom Kippur, we have inui from Tashvish Amita. So he abstained from having marital relations with his wife for 130 years. So the question is how, if he was abstained from having relations with his wife, so he obviously didn't have relations with anybody else. So where did all these ruchin, shaydin, and lilin come from? That's the Gemara's question. And finally, since he sinned, according to some, the Eitz Hadas, the four different opinions, none of them which are an apple, one says it was an esrog, one says it was a vine, one says it was wheat tree, actually, and the other opinion says that it was tainim. It was figs. So therefore, because of this opinion that he sinned with a fig tree, there is one opinion that says that it was an orchard and it had all of the different trees in it. In any event, the hello zorzei te'enim al b'saro meir shlosh v'shana. So he reminded himself of the sin by wearing this prickly wreath made out of te'enim on his skin for 130 years. So he did all this tshuva for 130 years. How can you tell me that he, Nebuch, he had relations with these shadim and then gave birth to all these shadim? Doesn't make any sense. So Gemara says, you're right. Ki kamrinan, that which we said, that he, for 130 years, he gave birth to these ruchin, shedin, lilin, it's not that he actually gave birth to them. They came as a result. Ki kamrinan, how b'shichwa zera dechozo le'onse. Anytime he had a discharge of zera against his intention, that sometimes zera comes out. So therefore, that's where these various types of shedim came from. And not chas v'shom, that Rabbi Rishon committed acts of adultery or acts of znus. Another statement, Amar Yirmiyah b'Lazar, he said the following. We only give part of the praise of a person in front of him. You don't go and give the full praise in front of the person. You shouldn't get a swelled head. But when you're not with him, when he's not there, so then it's appropriate to give the full praise of a person. Where do we see this idea that you only praise a person partially when he's there? That's brought down from Noach. Says about Noah when he's talking in front of Noah. So he says, you know, he's a tzaddik. I see he's a nice guy, he's a tzaddik, but he doesn't give the full praise when he's not there. Kulo shalom b'fanav. However, when Noah wasn't there, then he says, Noah ish tzaddik tomim hoya b'dorosav. Not only was a tzaddik, he was a tomim. It's even a higher level of praise. There he gave the full praise. Another statement from Yirmiyah Lazar. I deceive, what does the pasuk mean when it says, "Vinei ali zayis torah b'fiha," that the dove, when it flew out from the teva to see if there was land, so if One time he brought back an olive leaf. Now, what's special about an olive leaf? So by this symbolism, the Yonah was telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, you're the creator of the whole world. You're the master of the whole world. I'd rather have bitter food and have it come from you than to have and have really, really sweet food, but it's totally biyad, rather than come from a person. In other words, I'd rather be dependent upon you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if it's much more meager and bitter food, but knowing it's coming from you, rather than be dependent upon a human being, even though he's giving me better food, because I'd rather rely upon you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not on a human being. Now, where do we see this idea that teref refers to food? So, ksiv hocha, Taraf, it says, Alei Zayis Taraf Bifiha. So where do we see Taraf means food? Uksiv Hasan, it says elsewhere, Hatrifeni Lechem Chuki. In Mishle, it tells the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, give me my share, my amount of food that I'm supposed to get. Give me the bread that I'm supposed to get. Hatrifeni Lechem Chuki. Give me the amount of bread that you've assigned to me. Another state from Maria Miralazar. Maria Miralazar, Kol Bayis Shinishmoyim Bo Divrei Torah Belailo Shuv Eino Nechrav. If a house has Torah learning going on at night, it won't be destroyed. What's the remez to this? Shenema, Lo Omar Aye Eloka Osoy. Nobody will be ever saying who does the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No sins and miros Belailo. Who will that not have to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask me, please, where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Somebody who has miros, somebody who has Torah learning coming out from their house at night. Another statement, Bar Maria Miralazar, Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash, Dayo Liolom Sheishtamish Bishteyos Yos, from the time that Nebuch, the Beis HaMikdash, was destroyed, so we only used the two-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yud-K. Where do we see this from? Shenemar, Kol HaNishoma Tahalo Ka Haluka. So we see that we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that we use the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the two-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yud-K. Tosus says, the Diakovir brings down from Reino Chanano, Korbe HaNishama. The dogish. In other words, when the time that the world was shama, when the world was destroyed, in other words, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so we no longer have the luxury, so to say, of using the four-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or even the greater letter numbered 42-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we only use the two-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It shows that there's a diminution of the Kedusha in the world with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Another statement, Amar Yemir Belazar, Niskalala Bavel Niskalush Chenel. When Bavel was destroyed, so its surrounding neighbors, the countries around it, were also destroyed. And this is Rashi says, that the surrounding countries were adversely affected by Babel. However, in Niskalu Shomron, when Shomron was destroyed, Nisbaruchu Shchenel, the surrounding areas were blessed. Where do we see this? Niskalu Babel, Niskalu Shchenel, where do we see that when Babel destroyed, the surrounding countries were also destroyed, also were cursed? It says, V'samtio l'morash kipod v'agme moim. I'll make that whole area into a wild area. As Rashi says, that there will be chayos roos umazikos mekomos hasmuchos lo, that the dead animals will come and destroy everything around there. However, when the Skal Shomron, when the Shomron was destroyed, the surrounding countries were all blessed. They'll say that the pasuk says, "V'samti Shomron le'iyei asoda." HaKadosh Baruch said, "I will make Shomron into a pile, into an area that is arable." We turn to the Yom Aleph, Lematoy Karim, for a person to go and plant his vineyard. So actually, the destruction of Shomron was good for everybody else around them. With this, we conclude today's shiur.